Normally, I would have you open your Bibles to a particular text, but I'm going to be all over the place today because I'd like to span the breadth of Scripture today in talking about what Jesus says when he says, I am the light of the world. And so you can try and find the places I'm talking about, but I might move so fast that I'll mention them and then move right past them. So if you're taking notes today or something like that, you know what would be great is just write down the places I mention and maybe go back to them. Or if you want me to highlight that for you, I can send you an email this week. Just let me know something. But Jesus being the light of the world. So it's kind of fun for me today because one of my three sisters is here, Pam, and my brother, Kip. And so they're here. Pam is my, I have three sisters, older, and then two younger sisters. And Pam is closest to me of the younger. And she's my favorite sister. Now, I say that, okay, and knowing that this is recorded. And my mom's probably watching. So here's how it works for me, and I think they know my secret. I tell each one of them when I'm in contact with them and none of the others are around, I say, you're my favorite sister. And it just, it accomplishes great things for me. So it's good. But so Pam, today, you're my favorite sister. We are on a countdown in the Gospel of John. I know you can go to the Gospel of John anytime you want, so it's not like it's going to be done in 10 weeks, but I'm really enjoying already the start of this. Last week we did I Am the Bread of Life. This week we're doing I'm the Light of the World. Next week we're going to skip ahead a little bit in the order and do I'm the Resurrection and the Life, and then I Am the Gate, then the Good Shepherd after that, and then the Vine, and then the Way, the Truth, and the Life. 7 weeks. So we're on number 9 of 10, and I'll put 3 at the end that will be basically summarizing some things of some real passionate points that come out of John that I know God has certainly spoke to me, and I hope they speak to you, about talking about the grace way of Jesus, the washing feet way of Jesus, all about following, and then the abiding way of Jesus. So we're on number 9, counting down to 1 in the Gospel of John with our messages. So today, I am the light of the world, and it comes from John 8, chapter 12. Basically, I am, and I capitalize the am. It's important. I am the light of the world, and it's capitalized for a reason. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now, I underlined a few things. When Jesus came on the scene, and John the Baptist even prepared the way for him, right? Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near, would be John the Baptist's mostly message. When Jesus comes, he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. It's right now. And the invitation is there for us today and for our world. I am the light of the world. Follow me. You'll never walk in darkness. You will have the light of life. Wow, what a promise. What is Jesus talking about? What is he saying about himself and about what he offers us today? Well, anybody? I know some people in this church got a close-up. Hey, hands. All right, you are in the pathway, right? We have a few here. You'll have to ask them about it. This is a picture that I got from Jason, and you all who were there may have that. So, okay, see this, right? Isn't that cool? I mean, was this just with a phone with a grid on it, right? Another one. More of the eclipse. And then what everybody sort of is waiting for, right, is this kind of a moment, right? What do they call that with the ring around it? Yeah. Did I hear something like diamond ring, or did I hear something like... Cool, thank you. Just One word maybe from those who may have been in the line of it. What would you say to describe the experience? What would you say? Cool. Ethereal. Neat. Breathtaking. Did anything happen when that happened, when it was almost in its totality, right, which is probably not very long, what happened around you? Did anything change? Did you experience anything or see anything kind of different? Anyone? I'm curious. Temperature drop, birds stop chirping. That is fascinating. Crickets started chirping. Yeah, they come out at night, the birds are going, It's fascinating. People cheered. Interesting, right? Seeing something rare, something unique. Well, you wanna know what the Boulder people experienced? Right there. Looks like an alien. I know it's not. But that's a colander. I went outside. That was my experience. All the little holes in the bottom. I'm like, okay, I'm doing this. So you got to see a little bit. It was a partial, right? Partial eclipse. You can kind of see that. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. When Jesus shines, the birds chirp. There's warmth in his light. We're going to hear a lot about darkness and light today. There's going to be interesting sort of metaphors and things you can probably draw relations to. I'm going to stick mostly to what Scripture says in some different contexts. Grace in the text today is huge. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Now let's start, because I like to do this. I like to look at context. I like to broaden it out, all right? But the immediate context of this, there's some phrasing and some studying of the Gospels and Jesus' movements and things. He's in Jerusalem, not for the Passover, but for the Feast of Tabernacles, which is Sukkot. And what they would celebrate during that time would be God's provision and protection as they were wandering in the wilderness, okay? As they were wandering in the wilderness. And it's interesting because it records Jesus being near the treasury temple part of the court. This was where the offerings were given. And during this time of the festival, there were great golden lamps to light the area during the feast. I wonder if Jesus, I don't know, I didn't look further in the time, but I'm going to imagine today with you, I wonder if he's in the temple court by the treasury, by the golden lamps as they're burning, giving light to the area, and he says, I am the light of the world. I am. He's given a powerful analogy about light, but referring to himself. So if I were to ask you, we talked about this last week with On the Bread of Life, what did God provide for God's people in the wilderness? Well, manna and quail and water from a rock, deliverance from enemies, gave the gift of the law of God, gave guidance by day and by night by what? A pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God's presence, God guiding the way, God giving his protection. I'm with you. It's powerful analogy. Light in the broader context. So if I were to ask you, where do you see and hear light being mentioned in just the immediate context, bigger context of the Gospel of John alone, where would you find it? And where does the Gospel of John begin? It's a dumb question, by the way. It begins at the beginning. Listen to John 1:1-4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Okay, something huge is going on here. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is where the Gospel of John begins. Right at the beginning, we see darkness and light, life and light paired together, and it shines in the darkness. This expands our understanding of Jesus' teaching, I am the light of the world, exponentially. So someone said, watching a solar eclipse, and it's stunning, it's amazing, it's profound, it's awe-inspiring. Well, Jesus just said, He's the light of the world. John said that He was with God in the beginning. He was God, that nothing was made without Him. Everything was created and made through Him. In Him was life. What is he saying? Well, light and life go together for sure in Jesus. He's the source of both. Coupled with John's opening in the gospel and Jesus saying, I am, is saying that he is also one and the same, the Son of God from before all time, there in the beginning. And when God said, let there be light, and there was light, who do you think was intimately involved in the creation, in the formation, in the breathing of breath into every living thing? The creation of our Son. It's the one that we know today as Jesus, none other. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, when you read Genesis 1, you have a plural name for God. It's Elohim, the great creator God. Come to understand it through all the revelation of Scripture that this is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit created, hovering over the waters, speaks, and it is. And we just celebrated Jesus rising from the dead. Colossians speaks about Jesus in this way in unbelievably profound ways as Paul just waxes eloquent. He's astonished by Jesus. First to rise from the dead so that in everything he might have supremacy, that he might reconcile all things to himself. When Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, follow me. He's offering us light and life. It's more than just salvation from our sin. Oh, praise God, it includes that. It includes life eternal and a life abundant. This is the offer and invitation that Jesus is giving to all who believe in Him. Where else do you see light in the Gospel of John? Well, John chapter 3 is fun to look at. Because here's Jesus' words. God loved the world so much he gave his one and only Son, sent by God, to save the world through him, just as the world was made through him, right? That all who believe in him are saved. So this is the verdict, he says. Light has come into the world. Salvation in Jesus' name. Do you remember last week, I'm the bread of life? And what Jesus says there is, he says, anyone who believes in me will live forever, never hunger, never thirst. Again, it's astounding and astonishing claim. Another I am, the true manna come down from heaven, giving life and sustenance to his people. Jesus is the incarnate word. I have on there, Jesus saying, I'm the light of the world. He's saying, creation, I was there. I breathed. Life was active in all that was made. Incarnation, that's me. I took on human nature and human form, became human, lived a perfect life, died and rose again so that we might have salvation. Jesus is saying all those things when he says, I'm the light of the world. Jesus' incarnate word, both light and life, who speaks and it is, bringing light and life to all who believe. So the work of God by the Holy Spirit in the human heart, by grace through faith, is to believe in Jesus, the one whom God has sent. Now here is where we run into a little trouble. So lots of grace, right, in the text. Incredible invitation, incredible truth about what God has done and what he offers to those who believe, receive, and follow. But there's trouble. And you will find this as well in chapter 3. And these are Jesus' words again from the Gospel of John. He's talking to Nicodemus. Remember that when we started our series? It was right towards the beginning in January, I think. People love darkness instead of light because their deeds are evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. People love darkness, deeds are evil, minds are blinded, fear of exposure. How many of you have had the experience of turning over a dead and rotten log out in the forest or something like that? And as soon as you turn over, you see an unbelievable plethora of bugs. And what do they do when you expose them to the light? Scurry and scatter. It's kind of a fun thing, unless it's those bees that are under the ground. That happened to me once. Don't do that. But it's fascinating. Like when you're a little kid, you are actually fascinated by this. You'll go around then overturning other logs just so you can see and watch what happens as they scurry. Jesus has given like a similar analogy. We have a problem in our sinful nature. Not only are we born with one, we have one, and then we act it out. It's just our nature. And so this is true for our lives. I think even when Christ comes into our life, we have this tendency, right? Paul talks about it like this old self. Like when the sin in our life, right, is there, we want to dismiss it. We want to say, oh, that's not so bad. I'll do better next time. When the light wants to be shed on it, we actually want to hide it. I think what Jesus is sharing here, and what I'll share with some other concepts about this is actually grace, okay? That God would love us so much that he would come and die for our sins. I mean, Jesus didn't just come to make us a little better. He came in totality to redeem us from being in darkness to living in his light. So actually, an acknowledgement of sin, a confession of it, asking for forgiveness, these things in Jesus Christ is what it means to come into the light, to no longer hide. Anyone who believes in me, receives me, follows me, will never walk in darkness, but will see the light of life. It's a promise for those who believe. 2 Corinthians 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Two significant troubles when it comes to faith in Jesus. There's probably more. Our sin and our stubbornness, right, to hide it. And then the deception, whether it's the deceptive one of our age or it's our own, we have plenty of our own, seeks to keep us in the dark. So let's return to the text. Let's remain in the light this morning as much as we can, of course. 2 Corinthians 4 goes on to say this, all right? Good. Bad news can be good news, right, if it's real news. And believe me, when it comes to Jesus Christ, there's always lasting good news. The God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," and I'm going to say this to every audience today. If you are a brother and sister in Christ, you're a believer in God, you're a follower of God in your life, or you are someone who is walking in darkness, whoever you are here today, hear Jesus' claim. Jesus is the one who dispels the world's and our own darkness. As we come into the light, we are freed from all our sin and darkness. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's like the foundation of what it means to be a gospel believer. And here's the good news. It's like, this is light. No fear, no judgment, no penalty, no wrath of God. It's been paid for in Jesus. No more walking in darkness, no hell to come, no more death at the end. For we have seen the light, we come into the light, we're purified by the light, we're given the light, and now we walk in the light. This is scripture when Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world. Follow me. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light." And in John 8, whoever follows the light will never walk in darkness. Now, I've relayed this story again, but it's great here as a reminder for me. So here it is again, but in summary form, I will never forget some of the experiences in my life of, like, wonders about what God has made and the wonders that are in the earth and the universe. I mean, eclipses. You know what I thought about when that one was happening? I'm thinking, how many of these are happening? Like, you can't even snap your fingers fast enough across the galaxy. How many? It's so awe-inspiring. I'll never forget the time Dion and I had with a group of college students where we lived in community with during our time in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. These were the early years of our marriage. We spent all night following a guide into the belly of Cave Mountain Cave, West Virginia. We're reaching the opening in the heart of the mountain, a small rock-walled room, and it had a sandy bottom, I know. Sitting in the circle, we sat there and we turned our headlamps off, which we were never without, as we descended and at one point used ropes. And I mean, it was like crazy cool. Except for the bats, like right there, hanging from the ceiling. No kidding, it was crazy. We're eating food, you know, you're like, eh. And we were told to turn our headlamps off and we sat in silence and it's absolute darkness. Now, rarely, if ever, do we ever experience this, right? We always have some kind of light by us. You have the stars at night, generally. You have the ambient light all around us, right, from different lights we have through the night. Absolute darkness. And I would say, I don't know exactly how much time it was, but it felt like, if it were 5 minutes, I would say in less than 5 minutes, and it might have been less, of just utter darkness and silence, it actually was kind of crushing. You were relieved when someone would maybe move their foot a little bit in the sand. Oh, okay, good. Maybe, right? I hope it's not a bat or an animal. And then out of the darkness, our guide lit a single match. That's all it took. Lit a single candle and just set it in the middle of our circle. What do you think that did? There'd be some shadows, but you could see the surroundings. You could see one another's faces. The light, even though there's no way that would give us a lot of warmth in a short amount of time, it was like almost as if it gave you warmth. Something about hope. I'll never forget the feeling too when we climbed out. You know, when you're in a cave, like we went in, like, I don't know, it was like 10 o'clock. It was right around dusk, I remember hiking up. Went in, and we didn't come out until the sun was starting to rise. you do that kind of crazy crap in college. And how many months pregnant were you, Dion? 3 months pregnant, Dion, with Ellie. She's a trooper. But when you come out of the cave after being in that kind of darkness and that environment and the sun is rising, oh, you start walking down from the entrance of the cave down to the parking lot. You can start to feel the warmth, right, of the sun on your face and on your skin. Start shedding layers, right? Just like, and you have this sense of unbelievable gratitude that you don't live in darkness. Jesus says, I am light and life with a capital L, and they go hand in hand. So imagine today, because we talked about an eclipse where, I don't know, I heard different things. I didn't experience it, of course. It was a little eerie here even. Like, you could tell the lighting was different. You looked around, you're like, something's a little off. I don't know if I noticed cooler temperatures, but I heard it could drop like 20 degrees potentially, right? If you're in the pathway, depending on the conditions around you, whatever. Well, think about if there was no sun. Think about it. Would anything be alive? Everything would be absolutely dead. Every green thing, every living mammal, every human being. Jesus, in his claim, and what we have already looked at in Scripture, Jesus is saying, I am the light of life. Everything was created through me, you. God knows you by name. He loves you so much. What he did on the cross through his life, his death, his resurrection, invites us to live life in the light of life that gives light abundant and eternal. This is a big deal. It's a big claim. Isaiah 9, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. To those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Jesus says, I am that light. 2 Samuel 22, David sings a song of praise. You, Lord, are my lamp. You turn my darkness into light. Psalm 18, you, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness to light. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Psalm 36, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. See, with Jesus, light and life go hand in hand. There's more. Jesus says in Matthew 5, we know this text if you've been around for a while. You are the light of the world. A town that's built on a hill, you just can't hide it. Well, we've been talking about darkness. You can't hide it. At night, there'd be some lights that reveal it. I mean, right? You go up there at night and look over Boulder. You can't hide it. Neither do people light a lamp. And you got to think, they didn't have electricity, right? Light a lamp and put it under a bowl. What happens when you put a bowl over a light? Yeah, not only does it dim it, it's going to go out. But instead, you put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Wow. So the light of the world says to those who believe, receive, right, and follow, you are the light of the world. There's no bigger, better calling for us as human beings than that one. It's stunning again and phenomenal. And it makes me think a little bit like, oh, I mean, in good and bad ways, like, oh, Lord, don't look. Because I'm not doing so great, right? And then the other one would be to enter, right, like this, covered with the blood of Jesus, filled with the life of the Holy Spirit, and do our very best in the power of the Holy Spirit to walk and follow Jesus. Is there not anything we wouldn't do to follow faithfully for such a great gift and calling? Listen to a couple texts. In Jesus' name and power, God is at work in us to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. We will shine like stars in the universe. I wonder if I have that. Do I have that on? I say, shine like stars. As you hold out, right, wait a minute. I want to get it right. I don't know if I have it right on my slide. I know it's coming. Isaiah 42. I, the Lord, who called you in righteousness, will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant to the people and a light to the Gentiles. Isaiah 49. I will make you a light to the Gentiles that my salvation, my light, may reach the ends of the earth. He's talking about us. The Apostle Paul in Acts 13, in bringing the gospel of Jesus to the people in Antioch, repeats the same kind of words. This is what the Lord commanded you. I've made you a light to the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Our testimony to the light and life of Jesus go hand in hand with our witness, our following. This has been our created purpose since the beginning. It's exactly why Jesus came, to redeem it, to reclaim it, to renew it, to fulfill it. I don't know if you think about this, but you know the promise that was given to Abraham long ago in Genesis chapter 12? It's basically, when Jesus says, you are the light of the world, it's Genesis 12. I will bless you. That's my cue. I got to wrap up my sermon, I think. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. Think about this. Jesus came, says, you are mine. Believe me, receive me. And you will have the light of life. Now go and be my witness to the light. You are the light of the world. It's a wonderful, beautiful calling. Remember 2 Peter 2, you're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Our text of the quarter. Here it is. Shine like stars in the world. This is Philippians chapter 2. As you hold out the word of God by holding firmly to the word of God. That's beautiful. You want to know why that's just so fitting? It's because scripture all over the place, you can find it everywhere, talks about God's word as being light. Your word is a light to my path, a lamp to my feet. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Those of you who are doing read through the Bible, Psalm 19 this week. Psalm 56, walk before God in the light of life. So I want to wrap up today with this. So what? What now? What to do and what to be? And I simply want to say that we have everything we need, by the way, for this journey. I'll say that first. God gives the gift of the Holy Spirit, for one. We can be attentive to it. We can listen to it. We can follow. God has given us everything we need in what we would call the scripture, the Word of God. I mean, everything we need is there to live life and be light to the world. But a couple of things that you can start to at least think about, and I know they're big categories. But listen to these texts. And I'll tell you what, let's actually enter into a spirit of prayer as I finish with some of these thoughts. Whatever helps you to pray. Ephesians 5. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6. What fellowship can light have with darkness? What does it look like to walk with God faithfully? 1 John 1. God is light, and in him there is no darkness. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Ephesians 5 again. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Rather, expose them. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. I was thinking about this week. I am relearning the Sermon on the Mount. I think I'll have the opportunity soon to just give witness to that, just to do it from memory. And so I've been trying to refresh myself. And I've been thinking about the eyes. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. Our eyes. How about our desires? Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Brothers and sisters, children of God, children of light, our world is full of darkness, and we sometimes are intrigued by darkness. We dabble with darkness. Our hearts can sometimes be dark too. And God's call through Jesus Christ is everyday practical, and instead of seeking immediate gratification, to seek and practice patient hope. Instead of being pessimistic and tearing down others, encourage and build one another up. Instead of going along with our promiscuous, sex-saturated culture, seek self-control, marital fidelity, honoring God with your body. Instead of pleasure-seeking, always looking for a short-lived amusement, live life with greater purpose, more fulfilling joy in following Jesus. Ask God to help you go beyond the superficial, the apathetic, the indifference of our society, and seek that which is deeper, much more substantial, and altogether true in Jesus. You know, in our everyday relationships, instead of holding a grudge, tending to revenge, extend forgiveness. Live with compassion. Pursue peace. And today, it's just when it comes to seeking self-esteem in ourselves, just have better self-esteem. Think about yourself in better ways. Instead of more self-interest talk, try walking in humility, entering into self-giving love, and actually be more self-forgetful. Actually think of ourselves less. This is what Jesus offers. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You now, in my name and in my power, you are now the light of the world. Lord, we can see and understand all around us in our relationships, the things that happen day to day, certainly in the news. But Lord, it's right in our neighborhoods. It's in our families. We need your light. And as followers of light, would you lead us in walking in the light? Help us, Lord, too, to not put it under a bowl, but to let it shine. In Jesus' name, amen.